Her grandpa fought old Chiang Kai-shek, that no-good, low-down, dirty rat, who used to order his troops to fire on the women and children. Imagine that. Imagine that. And in the spring of 48, Mao Zedong got quite irate, and he kicked that old dictator Chiang out of the state of China. Chiang Kai-shek came down in Formosa, and they owned the island of Quemoy. Shells ran across the China Sea, and they turned Formosa into a shoe factory called Taiwan.
To lock out their workers should employees strike. They've also promised a preemptive lockout should at least 6 hotels agree to one. This employer tactic was used during the recent California grocery store workers' strike and allowed management to secure wage and benefit concessions in union contracts. The hotels broke off the talks last week. The Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union says it'll take the employer's final offer to its members on July 1st.
With terrorist attacks on the rise, many people fleeing the country and insurance costs going through the roof for those who stay, the government of Saudi Arabia is desperately looking for ways to entice foreign oil workers into staying on the job. Their latest proposal, allowing foreigners to carry firearms for personal protection, may seem like a prudent move, but the cultural implications are less positive. Saudi citizens can't even carry concealed weapons without a permit, and the idea of more armed Westerners roaming the country has its own implications for the growing insurgency.
More bad news for MCI workers. The telecommunications giant announced another round of layoffs on Friday. More than 2,000 workers will be disconnected at call centers in Colorado, Kansas, South Carolina, and Iowa. The latest layoffs bring to 16,000 the number of jobless MCI workers since the end of last year. Many employees were informed they would lose their job only a day before in a listen-only conference call lasting less than 1 minute.
Lie about the company you run, get $2 million? That's the fortunate outcome for Philip Watts, the former chairman of Royal Dutch Shell. He resigned in March after being caught inflating the company's proven oil reserves by as much as one quarter. When the scandal broke, the company took a beating and Watts stepped down along with two other executives. Now Royal Dutch Shells paid Watts a whopping $2 million in severance in appreciation for his 35 years of service to the company. Watts is also eligible for a $150,000 a year pension, the status of which remains undetermined. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Less than half the workers in the private sector now receive health benefits from their employers, according to analysis of figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics by the Labor Research Association. That's the lowest coverage rate in more than 40 years. By 2006, more than 53 million people may be uninsured, an increase of about 10 million from the present, and expect premiums to rise again next year, somewhere between 12 and 15% on average.
Ute, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
Martha Stewart has a plan. Of course she has a plan. The multi-million-dollar maven of how to live the affluent lifestyle always has a plan. Whether it's a plan for a conviction in that insider stock dumping scheme, she already has a plan to lighten her jail term. She's proposed that she get good time credit, thus shortening her sentence, by helping underprivileged women. How? By cleaning their apartments? Sewing new clothes for their children? No, no, darling. By teaching poor women how to start their own businesses. One wonders, will her course include an ethics lecture? After her term, Martha might follow the path blazed by Walter Pavlow. A former top executive of MCI, he spent a year and a half in prison after being convicted of wire fraud and money laundering. With an outside partner, it seems that Walter had devised a convoluted accounting scheme so he could loot $6 million from MCI customers. Bad boy. But being bad, at least for white-collar criminals, can put you in demand on the corporate lecture circuit. Ex-con Walter, for example, was recently the featured speaker at UC Berkeley's Center for Responsible Business. Walter pulls down $5,000 a speech and expects to take in up to $200,000 this year, telling audiences just how bad he was. There's even a speakers bureau called Pros and Cons that specializes in marketing such corporate crime confessors as Walter. I'm sure they'd welcome Martha. This is Jim Hightower saying, the lesson here is clear. If you're going to be a criminal, be a white-collar one.
Be pressed for time. Try using Click and Pull and Fax and Pull. Convenient services to help you order ahead for fast pickup. Place your order at samsclub.com or by fax before 5 p.m. And at no extra charge, it's ready to pick up the next morning. You've got a lot going on. Count on us to help you get it done. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here, live, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from California to North Carolina, and streaming around the planet on cable radio network stream, as well as the new PureCast stream that was put together for us by WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can easily find it there. Go to the Tom Hartman link. Anyhow, welcome back. Monday, the 28th of June, 2004, 127 days to the elections, 386 days after Joe Wilson's wife was outed. They're still looking. You'd think that old George could just, you know, kind of pull everybody together and say, okay, which one of you guys did it? But not happening. 599 days since the search for weapons of mass destruction began. We were informed again this weekend. Well, there's 270 million Americans. Your odds of dying in a terrorist incident are certainly less than being killed in a car accident. What is that, 50,000, 56,000 people? 50,000 Americans a year are killed just by drunk drivers. 11,800 Americans a year are killed by guns. I mean, it's, well, by other people with guns. Okay, let's be politically correct here. Anyhow, I think that, you know, does this justify this one single act of terrorism, or even multiple ones, for that matter? Let's say, you know, every 6 months they hit us. Does this justify transforming America from the nation that we have known and loved for 228 years into something new and different? Our question for the hour, how much damage will the neocons do to America before the American people awaken? If you'd like to be on our program today, our number is 1-866-889-8894. Friday night, Louise and I went and stood in line at our local theater. The owner, in fact, was standing out in front telling people about the, you know, how concerned he was that those people from Georgia and Minneapolis and Southern California who had emailed him, called him, and sent him letters, ranging from threats to mostly saying, I will never step foot in your theater again if you carry 9/11, Fahrenheit 9/11. Said, well, yeah, okay. He was real worried. But it's been sold out. It was sold out everywhere. It was top grossing movie for the, you know, $8 million in the first day. What I found interesting about it was that there were really only two things I learned that I didn't already know. I mean, it wasn't a movie of revelation for me. And I think for most Americans, it won't be a movie of revelation. I don't think it's going to be a movie of, oh, gee, I never thought of that. It's more, and in fact, what really struck me about the movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, is how very mainstream it was. how just, you know, very, you know, it was a good production values, well produced. You know, clearly it's not unbiased. I don't think there's any such thing as an unbiased movie. Clearly, Moore thinks George W. Bush blew it with regard to the war on terror and Iraq. But it wasn't it wasn't as much of a polemic as I expected. It wasn't as much of a political screed as I expected on the one hand. And secondly, he really didn't go into any of the conspiracy stuff, any of the weird stuff, any of the speculative stuff that you can find anywhere on the internet and in conversations that people are just normally having about, you know, well, what's going on, and was this all for corporations, or what's going on? It was just very, very straight down the middle. It was a movie that I really believe my parents could see, my Republican parents could see, and walk out of the theater going, well, you know, there was a viewpoint there, clearly, but, you know, everything he said is stuff we've already seen on CBS. I mean, it's not like, you know, there were these big revelations. Other than the two things that I learned, one was that when they released, you know, when 6 months or a year ago, thereabouts, Michael Moore called George Bush a deserter during one of the campaign, you know, stops during the Democratic primaries. And so Bush's people released his records, which showed that he had, in his last year of service at the National Guard, not shown up, but it was preceded by his being demoted or put on inactive status or whatever you call that, because he failed to show up for a mandatory drug test. As soon as they started drug testing in the National Guard, George W. Bush stopped showing up. And there was one other guy who also failed to, and his name was blacked out in the 2004 release, the release of about 5 or 6 months ago of the papers. But in the 2000 release of the papers, which Moore had gotten under Freedom of Information Act filing, that guy's name was in there. And it turns out that that guy, who also, along with George W. Bush, failed to show up for the drug testing, was, interestingly, the money manager for the Bin Laden family and an investor in George W. Bush's companies. He's a guy who was good buddies. Good buddies with George W. and has turned it into a nice little fortune. So anyhow, that was my aha. But it wasn't. Yeah, I mean, that's not a huge one. It's just, you know, one more example of crony capitalism. There it is. Well, you know, isn't that the mantra of this administration? Use government to advance the interests of very large corporations and very wealthy individuals, and forget about everybody else because they need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps after all. It doesn't matter if they don't have boots. Let them pull them up anyway. So, the handover of Iraq happened today. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Chuck in New Mexico is on the line with thoughts, I believe, on that topic. Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Well, Tom, you know, I have the most immense sense of deja vu. I remember when we put Diem in power into Vietnam, and then I remember when we put, we didn't like him because he wasn't cutting the mustard, we put Key in power. And, you know, it's amazing because the people that actually lived there didn't really care for them very much.
Yeah.
And doesn't this, I mean, it's just deja vu all over again, as the man said.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm going to get into that in a little more detail a little later on the show. But this new government. I mean, I really feel for these people, these men and women, because they're really trying to ride two horses in two different directions at the same time. They're trying on the one hand to say, okay, we're a sovereign country now. We're going to, you know, we're taking full sovereignty, and we're going to, you know. But they're completely dependent upon the U.S. military and on the U.S. for money.
You know, Tom, they did the same bloody thing. Well, we unfortunately did the same thing about 40 years ago. We said, well, you know, it's a sovereign country, but the U.S. military is going to stick around and keep an eye on things.
South Vietnam, you mean?
Just as long as they need us. Yeah, like a puppet government's ever going to say anything otherwise.
Yeah. I think the real test is going to come, frankly, after the presidential elections. And it'll be interesting to see who gets, if whether it's Bush or Kerry and how this is handled. But the real test is going to come when there's actually an election in Iraq.
Yeah, well, finally, an election, since we didn't have one in 2000.
Yeah, and the election attempts that we had in South Vietnam were shams.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom. That was just my comment.
Okay, good to hear from you.
Virtually studying this book, The New Pearl Harbor, was how he had been needing a Pearl Harbor, how closely connected they were with the Saudis, how indeed it was the Saudis that hijacked the planes and crashed them. And I thought it was more than humorous to me to see all the planes flying around picking up the Arabs right after 9/11 and flying out of the country to the tune of, got to get out of here now.
The other thing I thought was interesting was that George Bush Sr. on the morning of 9/11 was in New York City having a meeting with Salam bin Laden, Osama bin Laden's half-brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of that.
It's practically there in
Shakif
front of
bin
face,
Laden,
but people aren't making the obvious connection that this must have been a favor being delivered to Bush, who needed any excuse possible to get into Iraq and would even go to that extreme. And
I don't think so, the administration as well. And that's no slam on them. They, were certainly sent 50, 60 cruise missiles trying to assassinate Osama bin Laden. And, of course, the Republicans went nuts, going, he's just trying to distract us from Monica. How dare he? He's trying to wag the dog. In fact, they made a movie, Wag the Dog, about a president who would try to get out of a presidential problem. Anyhow, James Bath was the guy's name who, James Bath, the guy who also was put on inactive status in the Air National Guard, Texas Air National Guard, because he, along with George Bush, didn't show up for the drug tests. And Bush's good friend Bath was hired by the bin Laden family to manage their money in Texas and invest in businesses. And he used that money, interestingly enough, to invest in businesses owned by George W. Bush. Interesting coincidence. That was the thing I didn't know. Maybe it's common knowledge. Maybe it is. I think I read widely, but anyhow, that Fahrenheit 9/11, interesting movie. 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tom Hartman radio program. Tom Hartman with you here.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
At last, West, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about The Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry.
Vision of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Panama, Apollo, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Topeka, Flamingo, Amadilla, I'm a killer, I'm an anywhere.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. 24 and a half. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Special agents in the United States probing relatives of Saudi-born terror suspect Osama bin Laden before 9/11 were told to back off soon after George W. Bush became president, the BBC reported on Tuesday, says the Independent Online. The BBC's Newsnight current affairs program said that Bush at one point had a number of connections with Saudi Arabia's prominent bin Laden family. Newsnight reported it had seen secret documents from an FBI probe into the 9/11 attacks on New York and Washington, which showed that despite the reputation of Osama bin Laden as the black sheep of the family, at least two other U.S.-based relatives are suspected of links with a possible terrorist organization. And they go on to quote, this is from 1987 to 99. Now, that's during George Bush 1's administration. The former head of the American Visa Bureau in Jeddah from 1987 to 1989, Michael Springman, told Newsnight, quote, in Saudi Arabia, I was repeatedly ordered by high-level State Department officials, wasn't James Baker Secretary of State then? I don't recall, to issue visas to unqualified applicants, people who had no ties either to Saudi Arabia or to their own country. I complained. I complained here in Washington to the Inspector General and to diplomatic security, and I was ignored. He added, what I was doing, this during the Bush 1 administration, what I was doing was giving visas to terrorists recruited by the CIA and Osama bin Laden to come back to the United States for training to be used in the war in Afghanistan against the then Soviets. And here we see, and this is something else Michael Moore didn't get into in his movie, which surprised me, frankly. Or if he did, he passed it through it so fast that I don't have a great recollection of it. 1-866-889-8894, if you'd like to weigh in. How much damage will the neocons do to America before the American people awaken? Is Fahrenheit 9/11 part of that awakening, or is it just preaching to the choir? Kevin in Tampa, Florida, is on the line. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. What's up, Kevin?
Well, I wanted to talk a little about the movie and also about the mainstream media's reaction to it.
Sure.
First, I went to the movie. The theater that it was at here had two of their bigger theaters opened for it. Both were sold out. And I went to the 710 show, and the show that was going on after us, when we came out, the lobby was packed.
Sure.
You couldn't even move in there. So it did well here in Tampa.
Yeah.
But anyway, there were several theaters showing it. So.
Yeah. Now Louise laughed at times, and so did I. And she actually cried several times during the movie. Did you, what was your experience?
Oh, I had emotional, when that one Iraqi man was holding his dead baby.
Yeah. And the mother of the
pickup truck. That was horrible.
Yeah, and the mother of the USGI who got killed in Iraq.
You mean
your son told you this?
Yeah.
Who's in Iraq? Yeah. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, and it gets better part is in question. Anyhow,
what I wanted to talk about and bring up briefly, I've noticed the mainstream media, one person in particular, shocked me on this. Is very negative towards this movie, and I think I know why. And the one that really shocked me is Gryn Ifill from PBS, mm-hmm. who's pretty fair usually. She was on, I think it was Meet the Press yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and she called it like a pack of lies.
Yeah,
and there wasn't one lie in there.
No, I mean Moore has said. In fact, there's so much stuff that was taken out that a lot of us would have liked to have seen in.
95% of what I saw in there, I already knew.
Yeah, exactly. He said he couldn't find. You know, he had to have triple sources for everything, and he's ready to sue anybody who says that he lied.
And they came out and they say, "Oh, it was filled with lies and distortion."
Yeah.
Gotta
go, Kevin.
Example.
Hang on, Kevin.
Yeah.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Labor talks involving employees at 9 of Los Angeles
is desperately looking for ways to entice foreign oil workers into staying on the job. Their latest proposal, allowing foreigners to carry firearms for personal protection, may seem like a prudent move, but the cultural implications are less positive. Saudi citizens can't even carry concealed weapons without a permit, and the idea of more armed Westerners roaming the country has its own implications for the growing insurgency.
More bad news for MCI workers. The telecommunications giant announced another round of layoffs on Friday. More than 2,000 workers will be disconnected at call centers in Colorado, Kansas, South Carolina, and Iowa. The latest layoffs bring to 16,000 the number of jobless MCI workers since the end of last year. Many employees were informed that they were
determined. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Less than half the workers in the private sector now receive health benefits from their employers, according to analysis of figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics by the Labor Research Association. That's the lowest coverage rate in more than 40 years. By 2006, more than 53 million people may be uninsured, an increase of about 10 million from the present, and expect premiums to rise again next year, somewhere between 12 and 15% on average.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
My bills are all due, and the babies need shoes, but I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted.
Increasingly the song of the American middle class. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you 26 minutes before the hour. And the point I think that Kevin was making is an important one, and it's kind of the point behind the point, and that is that perhaps the reason the mainstream media has been, by and large, attacking Michael Moore's book movie Fahrenheit 9/11 is because it basically simply summarizes in a fairly concise fashion. Obviously, he left a lot on the cutting floor. Summarizes in a fairly concise fashion neocons due to America before the American people awaken. And parenthetically, might this movie be part of that awakening? I mean, you know, time will tell. Is it just preaching to the choir? Who knows? Scott in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, Tom. Thank you. And I consider that Michael Moore made his point, really. He gathered people together who obviously, not many people I think were on the fence. Most people who went to see the film already had some inkling of, you know, like you've covered all of these issues for quite some time now and done an excellent job of it. I think his main point came at the very end when he said, almost the penultimate frame, do something. And along yep. those lines, he is inviting people to a national online town meeting this evening. And if you don't have that website, I can give it real quick.
Please do so. I don't have that story right in front of me. I saw that. It flew by, and I didn't grab it
okay,
for today's show.
Okay, now what
show,
this does it? First is a setup for this real quick.
Sure.
It allows people to get on this website and put in their zip code and find out where people are gathering home meetings in their area, and then they can go /, then action.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's no www. Start over again then, so we're not confusing
okay.
people, because I screwed it up there.
HTTP, that's H two T's and then a P,
right.
Colon, /, action dot move on pack dot org. /F911/.
Okay. Why don't you lay it out just one more time?
And the whole deal here is, here in Santa Fe, I was part of the effort to hand out these flyers, which were, you know, taken off of somebody downloaded them,
mm-hmm.
and then I copied them up. And then I'm working with a statewide organization here. Called PACE, which is Progressive Alliance for Community Empowerment. And if I could give that website real quick, I'd like to do that for
yeah,
people
but
in
unless
Mexico.
Unless it's excruciatingly long.
No, it's
sure.
real short.
Yeah.
Just www.nmpace.org.
And like as in New Mexico, pace.com, or .org.
.org, right. And that's it. And the yeah. whole deal here is that since this was a swing state 4 years ago, we are committed to going out and registering people, educating them very literally, and then staying with them and making sure, driving them to the polls if necessary, and doing a very focused effort to make the difference vis-a-vis, you know, the election this fall and then beyond, but delivering statewide 20,000 brand new voters. These are people yeah. who haven't been registered.
And the important thing is not just, oh, gee, let's get out George Bush or let's get in John
exactly.
Kerry for that.
Grassroots, just
yeah.
like what you and Bernie talk about.
That's right. You've got to get your county officials.
Yeah.
You know, you want because these are the people who in 5 years are going to be your state
you
officials.
Say, just because the way our political system works with the presidential election, until we get instant runoff voting, we really, our only viable choice, well, in my opinion, and I agree with you as far as I understand it, is to take back the Democratic Party, get it
yeah.
moving at a grassroots level. This is the choice we can get active on right now.
Yeah, I agree. A document that showed U.S. special agents were investigating a close relative of Osama bin Laden, identified only as Abdullah, because of his relationship with the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, WAMI, which the program said was a suspected terrorist organization. The program reported it found where he used to live with another close relative, Omar, another bin Laden, also an FBI suspect, in Falls Church, Virginia, a suburb of Washington. And the house was conveniently close to WAMI, it said, and just a couple of blocks down the road was a place listed by four of the 9/11 hijackers as their address. The U.S. Treasury has not frozen WAMI's assets and insists it's a charity, the program said. Yet Pakistan has expelled WAMI operatives, and India claimed WAMI was funding an organization linked to bombings in Kashmir. But for some reason, the FBI has pulled agents off the trail, and of course, these two relatives of Osama bin Laden were among those who were flown out of the country on 9/13, while the rest of us were unable to fly. It's interesting. I was in Australia on 9/11. And because of the peculiarities of international datelines, I flew home. Well, maybe it was 9/9, whatever it was. I arrived here. No, it was 9/10. I arrived here the night before 9/11. And so I woke up the morning of 9/11 all kind of groggy and jet-lagged. But I, ironically, I had been scheduled to fly home the next day. which would have meant that my plane would have been somewhere over the Pacific Ocean when all flights into the U.S. would have been grounded, and I would have ended up in Canada for a week. I finished up. Neil Walsh and I were doing this tour around Australia, giving speeches, and we had just finished that up. And so I called up the airline and said, "Hey, can I get on a flight a day earlier?" Expecting them to say, "Yeah, but it'll cost you $1 million." And they said, "Sure." And United Airlines, of all things. And so I got on a flight a day earlier, and I got home 12 hours before 9/11, just by accident. But apparently, while everybody else was sitting and waiting, the family of Osama was being moved around. 1-866-889, not just moved around, moved out of the country. And they still, to this day, have not been interrogated by the FBI. Still to this day. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Nick in Michigan's on the line. Hey, Nick, where in Michigan are you?
I'm northern Michigan.
Up in northern, you're listening on WTKG?
No, actually, I'm listening on the web, CRN.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I was listening to you on the Linux Redbird servers, but they seemed to be down, and I called to find out really what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to, I'm glad to talk to a real radio personality. You know, I listen regularly, but I don't call. And I appreciate you being on the air.
Well, thank you, Nick.
I think you're doing a fine job, and I'm really impressed with your historical knowledge. Right down the middle, tell it like it is, you know. And you're not way liberal and you're an equal opportunity basher.
Well, to some extent. This is the problem, Nick. I mean, what does way liberal mean?
You know, I can't really say because, you read some of these people I don't even want to go into some of the stuff I read in these chat rooms, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the right-wingers, it's sort of like, you're in favor of beating children and kicking dogs. I mean, if being liberal means that you think that, government should play some role in maintaining and keeping a middle class, then I admit to that. If you think that being liberal means that the government should run a balanced budget, see, I thought that's what conservative meant. I'm in favor of that. If you think that being liberal means that government and religion should be separate, I mean, it's so strange how the right wing has created this straw man. I mean, they ascribe qualities to so-called liberals and then argue against them. And I don't know anybody like that,
I think it's really misrepresented, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't like it. I mean, I don't consider myself liberal, Democrat, Republican. I mean, if you go back, I remember Jesse Ventura. I mean, this guy, he ran on I forgot the party. But
yes, the Reform Party. But he was really a populist. And I think,
right,
you know,
right.
And I think, it's funny, Pat Buchanan is mostly a populist. And I, with regard to international trade, I share his views. And yet the guy's a toxic right-winger in other regards. So,
I think
these categories are all crazy.
Both sides.
Yeah.
I think there's good points. And, that's why I like the radical middle, as you call it, because Jesse portrayed himself as a centrist. And I think he'd be probably one of the better politicians if he were in office right now.
Well, it's something I got to do.
Once the Reform Party gained a little attention by him being the first governor, all of a sudden all these people are jumping off the Republican ticket onto the Reform ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of get it, and you get the error messages, and it's still there. Maybe they could remove it for ease of use.
Well, they have
somebody goes there and say, "Hey, I can't get it." So
I know
they're done with it.
I think they just they haven't been responding to my emails. I think that they just kind of vanished, and the website is still there, and it's kind of messy. But if you go to TomHartmann.com and click on the Listen Live link, there's a page there that points to the two new web streams that we've got. So, Nick, thanks for the call. I got to move along.
Thank you.
1-866-889-8894. Our number, Roque from Santa Fe, or is that Enrique?
Roque.
Hey, Roque. How are you?
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I am great. What's up?
I saw your picture in the El Dorado Sun.
Oh, yeah. That was...
In New Mexico, you look like a teenager with gray hair.
Well, bless you. I'm 53, so it's anytime somebody says I look like a... Yeah, I was on the cover of the magazine, no less. It was
a
surprise to me. Anyhow,
I wanted
what's
to
up?
Talk about Michael Moore's film.
Mm-hmm.
All these Democrats who blame the Greens for blowing the election.
Yeah.
I wanted people to just point out the point in the movie where Al Gore is presiding over the Senate and all these black people are arguing their case.
Yes, that was a very powerful part of the movie, and they couldn't find a single senator to allow it to be contested.
Well, and Al Gore was presiding over it, and he's the one who, you know, lost the election.
Yeah. Yeah, it was ironic.
He stood up for them.
It was ironic. Well, see, he couldn't. He didn't have the legal authority to. They had to have, in order to turn that into something that would require some sort of a vote or some sort of activity, you have to have, you know, a joint action of the House and the Senate. And they had to have at least one senator sign on with the Congressional Black Caucus in their protest.
But I guess the point would be that not one Democratic senator stood up and accounted for that.
Well, I think at that point, Al Gore had... You know, I mean, at that point, the handwriting was on the wall, and it just, you know, Al Gore and the Democrats had just decided, okay, we're not going to push this any farther and perhaps damage the party. We'll wait, another 4 years and take another shot at it. I'm assuming that was their logic. Whether it was right or not is a whole other thing. You know, history has demonstrated that that an enormous amount of damage has been done to this nation as a consequence. But none of them lasted more than 2 or 3 seconds. They were all quick cuts. It wasn't
That's
one of
right.
those. It wasn't one of those makes you want to, you know, barf kind of movies. I mean, I think frankly, people seeing Saving Private Ryan or the Deer Hunter or any of those movies, you know, about World War II or the Vietnam War would be just as effective at turning people against war.
Oh, yes, and I mean, everything Michael Moore has used in that movie was shown on WorldLink TV and Democracy Now.
Yeah, it was all pretty straightforward stuff. Rama, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Tom Hartman with you 10 minutes before the hour. Talk radio for the rest of us, helping you win the water cooler awards.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the Founding Fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or...
May be crafted into the birthing of something truly new. And you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
I am Sarah Turner of the Workers' Independent News Service, bringing you today's feature story. New York City Council members joined Reverend Al Sharpton this week to protest the city's unbelievable 51% unemployment rate for black men. Rebecca Miles reports.
Stopping downtown traffic, breaking through barricades, and heckling cops, Reverend Al Sharpton and 22 council members marched protesting unemployment in their communities. The Council of the City of New York Black Latino and Asian Caucus and hundreds of supporters strung arms together to walk from Ground Zero and walk around City Hall.
Hey, blue flag, Governor, protect it! George Bush, you can't tell us to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps when you left us standing in our underwear!
Al Sharpton spoke at the rally and questioned how Mayor Bloomberg could invite the Republican National Convention to New York when half the city's black men were out of work.
Today is just the beginning. We're coming out every week by the hundred. We're going to construction sites where people have jobs. They don't even live in New York. We're going to real estate offices. We're going to show where the jobs are. We need millions of dollars in public funds to deal with the job crisis. We need every contractor.
Today's march will kick off a series of marches throughout the summer, and the caucus has been busy lobbying for a $20 million initiative in the 205 budget to provide programs for job development, placement, and training. Half of the $20 million budget would come from the City Council support and half from Mayor Bloomberg's office. The State Council meeting is today. For the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Rebecca Miles reporting from New York.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
John Kerry for America, and for the red, white, and blue.
North Carolina, one of our Sirius satellite listeners on the line. Hey, Kodak, great to hear from you again. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, Tom?
I am great. What's up?
My wife and I also attended the premiere of the Fahrenheit 9/11. And the one thing that I can say that the movie is, will do, it'll give you an opportunity to have a forum for you to invite people to get a look at some of the policies and the decisions and that were made, and then the form in which they were made. For those people who haven't had the opportunity to be as well informed as we are.
Yeah.
And the thing that I noticed, I live in Durham, North Carolina, and I'm new to the political arena. I have to say this administration really invigorated me to pay attention. But I was also real surprised to find out that my area here is a Republican state because of the fact that since I live in an area that is more liberal, I guess, than the general population.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the universe of cultures living here in this area, it wouldn't seem to be that way. But I can say that this movement would give everyone opportunity to form these coalitions. So we had a Fahrenheit 9/11 party. All of our friends got together in it, in a very large theater. And also, anytime you watch the news or you look in the decision-making committees and...
got about 10 seconds here, Kodak. Got to wrap it up.
Yeah, but it's an opportunity for us to get even the disenfranchised people involved.
Yeah,
we'll fit that.
I think this is a movie that should be promoted heavily in the African-American community. I mean, it opens with that, the disenfranchisement of African-Americans in Florida.
That's what this is really all about, how... And when you really get to see how...
Kodak, we're out of time. I'm sorry.
...to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hart.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Labor talks involving employees at nine of Los Angeles' largest hotels have hit a snag. Nine hotels in the L.A. area say they'll immediately move to lock out their workers should employees strike. They've also promised a preemptive lockout should at least six hotels agree to one. This employer tactic was used during the recent California grocery store workers' strike and allowed management to secure wages.
Implications for the growing insurgency.
More bad news for MCI workers. The telecommunications giant announced another round of layoffs on Friday. More than 2,000 workers will be disconnected at call centers in Colorado, Kansas, South Carolina, and Iowa. The latest layoffs bring to 16,000 the number of jobless MCI workers since the end of last year. Many employees were informed they would lose their job only a day before in a listen-only conference call lasting less than 1 minute.
Lie about the company you run, get $2 million? That's the fortunate outcome for Philip Watts, the former chairman of Royal Dutch Shell. He resigned in March after being caught inflating the company's proven oil reserves by as much as one quarter. When the scandal broke, the company took a beating and Watts stepped down along with two other executives. Now Royal Dutch Shell's paid Watts a whopping $2 million in severance in appreciation for his 35 years of service to the company. Watts is also eligible for a $150,000 a year pension, the status of which remains undetermined. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Less than half the workers in the private sector now receive health benefits from their employers, according to analysis of figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics by the Labor Research Association. That's the lowest coverage rate in more than 40 years. By 2006, more than 53 million people may be uninsured, an increase of about 10 million from the present, and expect premiums to rise again next year, somewhere between 12 and 15% on average.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local...
Be pursued with a vengeance. It's not personal, just business. Look ye to Walmart, boom the market gods, directing CEOs to follow the anti-labor, low-wage, no-benefit, move-it-all-to-China ethic of this giant. The gods decree that no one can outcompete Walmart, so best to imitate the beast. Apparently, Jim Senegal has been going to the wrong church. He's CEO of Costco, the profitable warehouse club retailer that's fast-growing across the country. He takes a shockingly heretical view of his job, boasting of his company's fair treatment of employees. We pay much better than Walmart, Senegal says. That's not altruism, it's good business. Indeed, Costco's pay is much, much, much better. A full-time Costco clerk or warehouse worker earns more than $41,000 a year, plus getting terrific health care coverage. Walmart workers barely get a third of that pay, plus a lousy health care plan. Costco even has unions. Yet Costco's labor costs are only about half of Walmart's. How's that possible? One reason is that Costco workers feel valued, which adds enormously to their productivity, and they don't leave. Employee turnover is a tiny fraction of Walmart's rapidly revolving door. Another thing, Senegal
is trusted in more homes than any other brand. For a limited time, save up to $1,000 on select Carrier systems. Call 1-800-CARRIER for a dealer near you. Some restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details. Carrier, turn to the experts.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Arleigh Ermey, United States Marine Corps. While our armed forces defend our freedom, their families shoulder household duties and emergencies alone. To help, the veterans of foreign wars and Vermont, American brand Bits and Blades have created the Unmet Needs Program.
Rufus Forrest here, VFW Senior Administrator. Please support the Unmet Needs Program by purchasing Vermont American Bits and Blades. A portion of each purchase goes to help families.
Visit unmetneeds.com and buy Vermont American brand Bits and Blades. Thank you and Semper Fi.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Monday, the 28th of June. Michael Moore's movie, number one over the weekend, Fahrenheit 9/11. Yesterday, Ralph Nader lost the Green Party nomination. Here's an interesting footnote to that. On Friday, this was a story that appeared on Friday in the Institute for Public Accuracy sent it out, but I believe it was from the Oregonian newspaper, reported Friday, groups allied with President Bush are encouraging their conservative members to do the seemingly unthinkable, attend a convention Saturday to help put left-leaning independent candidate Ralph Nader on the Oregon free country, he says. Yes, indeed it is. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-866-889-8894, if you'd like to call in. You have thoughts on the day, the events of the day. Nora in Humboldt County is on the line. Hey, in California, right, Nora?
Right. That's
yeah.
Right.
What's up?
I just want to backtrack a minute on that tenant firing because of a little new information. Well, you know, Chalabai was a PNAC, and he got dethroned. And Aluai put in, who is a CIA operative, right?
Formerly, supposedly, yes.
Supposedly, yeah, and mostly in Britain, too, so
yeah,
connected to. And I have a feeling when Bush said that Tenet was being disloyal, and it...
If the CIA had been simply doing their job. So they you know, and that, of course, points to Tenet.
Yeah, and then Tenet said under oath in the 911 commission that he did not have contact with Bush during August, and yet he did.
Well, yeah, he amended that. You know, he said that under oath, and then the next day he came out and said, "Oops, I forgot. I flew down to Texas in the middle of August, right after he got that August 6th memo saying that Bin Laden was determined to attack within the United States, and I actually did have a contact with Bush, and that was it. He never explained what they talked about or anything, because he was no longer under oath before the commission. He just put in a loud and public oops to his sworn under oath testimony. Good point. Nora, thanks for the call.
Wait, though, because I wanted to talk about Brzezinski's The Grand Chessboard.
Yes, a chess game.
American primacy and geostrategic imperatives, you know?
Yeah.
And that he notes in this that any nation that might become predominant in Central Asia would directly threaten the U.S. control of oil resources in the Persian Gulf.
Oh, yeah, and this guy was Carter's national security advisor.
Exactly. But then in February 12th of 1998, the International Relations Committee in the House of Representatives had a meeting. And I quote from their meeting, "The collapse of the Soviet Union has unleashed a new great game where the interests of the East India Trading Company have been replaced by those of Unocal and Total and many other organizations and firms. Today, the subcommittee examines the interests of a new contestant in this new great game, the United States."
Yeah, interesting.
It is essential that U.S. policy...
Nora, you can stop. You can either tell us about it or... David Cobb is a friend of mine, and I just sent him an email this morning asking if he wanted to get on the program and talk with us. He told a lively crowd after he won the nomination, this according to a Reuters report, "What you have here before you are working class people who have demonstrated that it's possible to build a political party on principles and values without corporate money and without selling out." Now, I can tell you that I know from knowing David Cobb and from having discussed this with him both in private and on the air that he intends to run a what you might call strategic campaign for president. That is to say, in any of the battleground states where the green vote might cause John Kerry to lose or might cause George Bush to win, or I'm not sure how you'd say that, where the green vote would flip the vote toward you know, where neither one would get a majority, but Bush would end up prevailing at 49% or 48%, whatever. In those states, represented by, first of all, Barry Goldwater, extremism in the pursuit of liberty is no vice. Extremism is no vice. I mean, you know, this is the language that Bin Laden uses. And although he says, you know, in pursuit of God's will. And then with Ronald Reagan in 1980, and George H.W. Bush after that, and now in particular with George W. Bush, we see a new political philosophy arising in the United States that really has never taken hold in this nation before. In the 200 and, you know, up until really Reagan, 220 years more or less of American history. And it is not truly conservative. I mean, you know, true conservative values are things like, you know, adventurism, foreign adventurism. I mean, right up until Pearl Harbor, Rex Stout wrote a whole book called The Illustrious Dunderheads, which is nothing but a collection of the speeches given on the floor of the House, most of them by Republicans, saying, you know, that they suspected that FDR was trying to involve us in the war in Europe against Hitler, and that would be a terrible thing. That the Monroe Doctrine was right, that George Washington's, you know, in his farewell address where he said, beware of foreign entanglements. That really, you know, that we should just protect our borders and let the rest of the world do whatever it does. I mean, even Jefferson, during the French Revolution and then afterwards, as Napoleon was head of France when Jefferson was president of the United States, in the early 1800s, 1802, 1803, like that. And he said, hey, you know, if we just keep out of this thing, if we just stay away, eventually it'll work out. If our example of democracy is really and truly a good example, if the world looks at us and says, wow, that's really cool, I want that. If that's what happens and that's how it works out, then we don't need to be running around the world forcing democracy on people or bringing democracy to people. And in fact, every time we've tried, the great exceptions, of course, are Germany and Japan in World War II. But as we've discussed before, those are very, very, very different from today's situation or previous situations. Or they're being called the new conservatives. And, of course, neo, you know, like neo-Nazis or the new Nazis, neocons. Neo, I think it's Latin for new. And these neoconservatives, you know, have really in large part come about on the American scene, this kind of new philosophy, taking over the conservative worldview and claiming that they represent the conservative worldview when in fact they don't, and they don't represent the middle of the road worldview, and they certainly don't represent the liberal worldview, is an absolutely fascinating process. We see that actually opposition is starting to grow to it in both the Democratic and the Republican parties. People are saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Pearl, Rumsfeld, Stephen Cambone, these guys, you know, the Project for New American Century, the neocons, these guys are, you know, doing some serious damage to this country, and it's going to take us a long time to recover it. Now, how did we get into this thing? How did this happen? Where did it come from? This thing that has caused us to lose the respect of friends and allies that took 7 decades and 2 world wars to create, that want to declare war on civil liberties, on medical science. How is it that these guys have succeeded in polarizing America into 2 warring camps? Where did it come from? How much damage will the neocons do to America before the American people awaken? 20 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you on Common Sense from the Radical Middle.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house,
Small Dog Electronics is a small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No problem. There is no credit check.
There's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD, and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder. A different perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost it.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most: eco-damage, genetic engineering, virulent disease, the end of cheap oil, water shortages, global famine, wars. We can still do something about it and create a world that will work for us and our children's children. As the inspiration for Leonardo DiCaprio's web movie, Global Warning, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight details what is happening to our planet, the reason for our culture's blind behavior, and how we can fix the problem. There is information. There is hope. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late. Now with new updated information. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. And people are seeing this. This is not what has historically been known as Republican democracy. This is, some would say, plutocracy. Some would say kleptocracy. You know, steal what you can while you can, when you can, how you, you know, whatever you can get away with. It's really quite remarkable. How did the, you know, privatization of public schools, get rid of things like Medicare and Social Security? It's rolling back America to the pre-1935, basically. And even before that, in fact. 1-866-889-8894. Billion California. Is that billion Santa? In Santa Clara. Cruz. Santa Cruz. That's right. Hey, interestingly, in one of the trade magazines, Talkers Magazine, there was a letter to the editor from the owner of two radio stations in your town.
Michael Zwirling.
Yes, talking about how he had tried to get another liberal talk show host who shall remain nameless, who is on.
Peter Werby.
He had actually tried to get Al Franken on.
Oh, yeah.
And the network had told him, take everything or nothing, and,
right.
And he wrote this blasting letter, and somebody ought to let him know that.
That because I know Michael Zwirling. I used to work for free for Michael Zwirling, and he never thanked me ever.
Oh, my. Okay.
Fired me for being a lefty.
Okay. Let's not go beyond that, then.
Why not talk about the fact that people are controlling the airwaves? It's one of the reasons I called.
Yeah.
The Dick Cheney story. So, anyway, here's the three points I'll make.
Okay. Then, at the request of the United States, they scheduled it for right now. And I think that, and this was all done like six, eight months ago, I think that Bush was planning on making a secret visit, sort of like the Thanksgiving visit, over to Iraq for the handover, to actually be there for the handover. And this was going to be, you know, another campaign photo op.
Exactly.
And that things have gone so badly, he wasn't able to do it, but that was the original Karl Rove plan.
Right. You're absolutely
And that's why they pushed NATO to have it now.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Quick thing about the movie, and then a quick thing about the cursing.
Sure.
I heard somebody say something that I loved the other day and says, well, you know, we shouldn't have a movie move people's votes around. And I thought to myself, yeah, kind of genius about that. Because really what we want to do is the way we've been doing it, and let's leave it to $200 million worth of lying 30-minute spots on television.
Yes.
That's a better way.
That's a better way, yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and we'll see, that goes back to Buckley versus Vallejo. I mean, we've got to reverse that Supreme Court decision that said money is speech and it's protected by the First Amendment.
Well, which Supreme Court? The one that's going to hear about whether sick pot smokers can smoke pot?
The one...
70%
yeah, Billy,
in the state of California? I don't recognize that court.
Yeah.
I don't recognize this government. You know.
Hey, Billy, hang on just a second. I'll let you finish your rant here, but we got to take a break. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 29 minutes past the hour. More than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Labor talks involving employees at 9 of Los Angeles' largest hotels have hit a snag. 9 hotels in the L.A. area say they'll immediately move to lock out their workers should employees strike. They've also promised a preemptive lockout should at least 6 hotels agree to one. This employer tactic was used during the recent California grocery store workers' strike and allowed management to secure wage and benefit concessions and union contracts. The iWorkers, the telecommunications giant, announced another round of layoffs on Friday. More than 2,000 workers will be disconnected at call centers in Colorado, Kansas, South Carolina, and Iowa. The latest layoffs bring to 16,000 the number of jobless MCI workers since the end of last year. Many employees were informed that they would lose their job only a day before in a listen-only conference call lasting less than 1 minute.
Lie about the company you run, get $2 million? That's the fortunate outcome for Philip Watts, the former chairman of Royal Dutch Shell. He resigned in March after being caught inflating the company's proven oil reserves by as much as one quarter. When the scandal broke, the company took a beating and Watts stepped down along with two other executives. Now Royal Dutch Shells paid Watts a whopping $2 million in severance and appreciation for his 35 years of service to the company. Watts is also eligible for a $150,000 a year pension, the status of which remains undetermined. Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
Less than half the workers in the private sector now receive health benefits from their employers, according to analysis of figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics by the Labor Research Association. That's the lowest coverage rate in more than 40 years. By 2006, more than 53 million people may be uninsured, an increase of about 10 million from the present, and expect premiums to rise again next year, somewhere between 12 and 15% on average.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What a crock.
There's that Supreme Court, Billy. What a crock. Yeah, welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 26 minutes before the hour. And, Billy, I just wanted to let you know before you get into this thing, 2 points. One, I spent part of Saturday at a local fundraiser for John Kerry, Jean Shaheen, who's the national campaign coordinator, the former stripe. But there was one woman who got up and said, how do we explain this to our children, you know, what he said? And I thought, you know, John Stewart's take on it was great, you know, Cheney telling Leahy that he should go himself indicated that the Republicans were becoming a little more liberal in the areas of alternative sexuality and, you know, might be a breakthrough. But anyhow, the point that Pat Leahy made was that whoever is president in 2005 is probably going to appoint about half the Supreme Court.
Oh, my God.
And that's something, I mean, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is getting old. She has cancer. You've got Rehnquist has said he's going to retire. O'Connor has said she's going to retire. You know, I don't know who else is on his mind.
These people are already old and useless. Look at the decision we just got out of them on the Under God. You know, if they could have found a reason to throw out Under God, they would have. Instead, they threw out the case saying, you don't really have standing.
Yeah, well, you know.
Come on.
Yeah, you know, they just didn't want to touch it is the bottom
line.
That's right. So, anyhow, you were going to make a final point.
Here's the, you know, there really is a story on this Leahy-Cheney thing that no one's talking about, so let me do it real quick.
Okay.
You know, when the Washington Post decided to share the story with their readers, they told the story straight out.
Mm.
They, in fact, when they went for the F-U part, they spelled it out completely. They didn't put F dot dot, you know what I mean?
Right.
They just thought that if the vice president could say it, we can tell it. We can report the story. Hey, Tom, I dare you. Report the story.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen. Because,
God,
interestingly, hang on just a second.
What are they, how are they fractionating the media so that the newspapers haven't...
Billy, the very same day that Dick Cheney said that to Pat Leahy, the Senate voted to increase the fines for obscenity on the radio.
By what rate?
Frankly, I don't remember the numbers now, but it went from a couple hundred thousand to a million or something like that.
99 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, it was just incredible, and so obviously I'm not going to report the story exactly as it was.
And you know what the story is? It's like the old thing about, you know, when they came for the Jews, I was not a Jew, so I spoke not up. Then when they came for the gays, I was not a gay. When they came for
Pastor Niemeyer.
The newspaper's doing that to you. Because literally, the reason I really got into the story was I heard someone who sits on the board of the Washington Post speaking about the Cheney story and saying there was no story. So the Washington Post says there's no story there when the story is that we can print the truth, but Tom Hartman can't.
The mayor's meeting in Boston are not going like a good union man, like I am. Good union man, do not cross a picket line. Picket line was put up by the
police union.
By the Boston police who were fighting.
Yeah, I really respect John Kerry for that. I thought that was great that he said that he was not going to cross that picket line.
Good.
You know, I salute him.
I'm an old union man, and And one thing a union man does not do is cross a picket line.
Yeah, and he's been pretty...
The pickets are right and wrong, and he still don't cross it.
There you go. Yeah, other than his supporting some of the trade deals that have happened recently, I believe he voted for
Gatton
Effett.
That's entirely different. That's a long story.
Yeah, but he's been a good friend of labor for a lot of years. You were going to say.
Yeah, but we and Ann Arbor get Laura Ingram, a name is a real character assassin for Fox, and she's on from...
Put up.
And Ben Drudge last night, I listened to him, and he's going to have Bush win by... by getting Bob Kerry's wife's book out. His first wife had... His first wife suffered from depression, and she wrote a book about her life with Kerry.
Yeah.
And
it has to be a...
He's
has
going
to be
have the Republicans go to court...
And get the thing out.
Get the real facts out about Kerry's first...
I know. It's just character assassination. It's spin, like you said. Harry, thanks for calling and sharing that with us. And for the... Bye now. And thanks for having the... I don't know what's the word. Courage, fortitude, willingness to put up with the... with nausea to listen to that stuff. I don't anymore. I can't listen to it. It's not that it makes me angry or crazy or anything like that. It's like, why? You know, why bother? Why, you know, it's sort of like, it's like cursing or pornography or something. You know, why would you want to expose people to this stuff? So. Anyhow, ever since 1981, I want to get back to this point here about how much damage will the neocons do to America before the American people awaken? And do you think that they're awakening right now? 1-866-889-8894, by the way, our telephone number. Republicans have been viewed as isolationists. People that don't like big government and they don't like taxes and all that kind of... Bush, by the way, has increased the size of our government at a rate of 30%, faster than any president since Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the last one to increase our government as fast as George W. Bush has. So anyhow, the cons. This an article, a brilliant article. Simon said the neocon hothouse that William Simon built by Jerry Lanzi in MediaTransparency.org. He suggests that the conservatives were, you know, outsiders. They were standing outside looking in, these neocons, these new conservatives, and they were very upset. And so they decided to create a negative base, that is, to create a shared hatred of liberals. And out of this came, you know, they got a bunch of very wealthy people to fund this thing. Joe Coors of the Coors Fortune founded a foundation called the Castle Rock Foundation. Stephen Bechtel, some of these other folks created the American Enterprise Institute, the Brookings Institution, the Heritage Foundation, of course, was started with $250,000 grant from Coors. And Richard Mellon Scaife, John M. Oland, Randolph Richardson, Lynn and Harry Bradley, these very powerful, very well, they people who by and large made their money by inheriting it, and or who were born into significant wealth and then became the owners of mind-boggling wealth. And they funded what happened? Well, people stopped making things because people didn't have enough money to buy them. And FDR's solution was to stimulate demand. How did he stimulate demand? He put money in people's pockets. How did he do that? He did it with transfer of wealth. Oh my God, it's socialism. Well, it's not, but you know, what he did was he created the Works Progress Administration and other programs like that, number one, where people could, you know, basically work for the government. He increased the marginal tax rate. Hoover had a series of four major tax cuts in the 1920s. Marginal tax rate was down into the teens, as I recall. Might have been in the 20s. Franklin Roosevelt raised up to 90% on people who would today be called 100 millionaires or billionaires. 90% for the top wage rate, or anybody who earned more than about $10 million in today's dollars. And took that money and said, okay, if you don't have a job and you can't find a job because nobody's manufacturing anything, because nobody has any money to buy anything, then we're going to stimulate demand. We're going to give you a job. We're going to build, you know, we're going to plant trees. We're going to do public works projects. We're going to build roads. We're going to build bridges. We're going to build buildings. We're going to rebuild the infrastructure of America. We're going to do stuff that needs to be done. All bangers, the Smith-Richardson Foundation, they come up with this idea that instead of demand-side economics, in other words, instead of an economy being driven by the fact that people want to buy things, that really an economy is driven by the fact that things are available to buy. And people will want things badly enough, and so they'll go out and get a job, and in other words, you've got to drive demand from the top down. And that of course there is some small amount of truth to that. You can demonstrate that if you advertise a product hard enough, you can create demand for it, and that will cause people to buy it. And of course, in order to buy it, they have to have a job. But where it falls apart is the idea that if we simply give the tax breaks and the wealth, essentially, allow virtually unlimited accumulation of wealth to those people at the very top of the pyramid, if, as with George Bush's last series of tax cuts, where now if you earn your living sitting by the pool waiting for the dividend check to arrive, you pay no payroll tax, and the maximum income tax rate that you will pay is 15%. Okay, that's how you earn your living. And Bush has said that for this year, 2004, he wants to reduce that to zero. You will pay no income tax. And the idea being that these people will get this money and they will go out and they will build factories. But by and large, it does not make jobs. 10 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman with you.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Len. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channel?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total...
this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Tom Hartman will be joining the exceptional faculty of The Great Rethinking, The Prophets Oxford, taking place the weekend of September 10th through 12th at Oxford University, England. You are invited to join Tom Hartman in Oxford, along with other leading visionaries, including Vandana Shiva, Helen Caldicott, and Rupert Sheldrake, among others, to rethink and reshape our collective future. The Great Rethinking Oxford premise is that this tumultuous time in our human history may be crafted into the birthing of something truly new, and you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
Getting plenty of warnings about the energy path we're on, according to an expert, but he says we're not responding. I'm Steve Pomplin for Berkeley. He recently led a study that found that renewable energy technologies could add more than 1 million jobs to the U.S. economy. But Kamen says the federal government plans to meet future energy needs by building more fossil fuel and nuclear power plants.
We may need more of each of those. That's up for discussion. But what I think is the clear message is that we need to diversify our supply. And so I sort of have been surprised that what I think are very clear signals that our energy economy needs to be redirected don't seem to have made much impact at the national level.
The price of oil is at record levels, and U.S. oil imports grow larger every year. About $125 billion flow out of the country every year to buy energy. Kamen says things might have to get worse to wake people up to the need for a new energy policy, but he says they're really bad enough already. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
600 miles to the Mexican border. They chase us like rustlers, like outlaws, like thieves.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. The U.S. economy wasn't as strong during the first quarter as previously estimated, and inflation was a bit higher, according to this morning's Wall Street Journal. Although the economy wasn't quite doing as well, imports went up 10.4% versus exports increasing 7.5%. These are both, you know, positive numbers, but with imports increasing faster than exports, we're going deeper in debt to the rest of the world in order to buy our toys for Walmart. The median home price in the U.S. increased 10.3% over a year earlier. That, you know, if that's not inflation or a bubble, I don't know what it is. 10% a year income. See, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we used to have labor news. Now you got to listen to the Workers' Independent News Service to get it. Or, you know, find it on the internet or something. Go to the union sites, AFL-CIO.org or whatever. But it's 37.7% increase in corporate profits. I mean, I think it would be great if corporations made more profit if it was somehow benefiting we the people and the United States of America. But I don't see that happening. I don't see that at all. Instead, I see it, you know, well, there's that clip in Michael Moore in Fahrenheit 9/11 where George Bush looks out at a bunch of, you know, a crowd of people wearing tuxedos, and he says, look at this crowd, the haves and the have-mores. He says, some people call you the rich elite, I call you my base. And, yeah. And then he says he's opposed to increases in federal spending. Well, let's see. Clinton's first administration, federal spending went up 4.2%. His second administration went up 8.1%. So far, Bush, George W., has increased federal spending 19.7%. That's non-defense discretionary spending growth. Defense spending up 25.3%. Remarkable. Even more than Reagan, 14.5%. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom.
Several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hart.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Labor talks involving employees at 9 of Los Angeles' largest hotels have hit a snag. 9 hotels in the L.A. area say they'll immediately move to lock out their workers should employees strike. They've also promised a preemptive lockout should at least 6 hotels agree to one. This employer tactic was used during the recent California grocery store workers' strike and allowed management to secure wage and benefit concessions in union contracts. The hotels broke off the talks last week. The Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union says it'll take the employer's final offer to its members on July 1st.
With terrorist attacks on the rise, many people fleeing the country, and insurance costs going through the roof for those who stay, the government of Saudi Arabia is desperately looking for ways to entice foreign oil workers into staying on the job. Their latest proposal, allowing foreigners to carry firearms for personal protection, may seem like a prudent move, but the cultural implications are less positive. Saudi citizens can't even carry concealed weapons without a permit, and the idea of more armed Westerners roaming the country has its own implications for the growing insurgency.
More bad news for MCI workers. The telecommunications giant announced another round of layoffs on Friday. More than 2,000 workers will be disconnected at call centers in Colorado, Kansas, South Carolina, and Iowa. The latest layoffs bring to 16,000 the number of jobless MCI workers since the end of last year. Many employees were informed that they would lose their job only a day before in a listen-only conference call lasting less than 1 minute.
Lie about the company you run, get $2 million? That's the fortunate outcome for Philip Watts, the former chairman of Royal Dutch Shell. He resigned in March after being caught inflating the company's proven oil reserves by as much as one quarter. When the scandal broke, the company took a beating and Watts stepped down along with two other executives. Now Royal Dutch Shell's paid Watts a whopping $2 million in severance in appreciation for his 35 years of service to the company. Watts is also eligible for a $150,000 a year pension, the status of which remains undetermined. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Less than half the workers in the private sector now receive health benefits from their employers, according to analysis of figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics by the Labor Research Association. That's the lowest coverage rate in more than 40 years. By 2006, more than 53 million people may be uninsured, an increase of about 10 million from the present, and expect premiums to rise again next year, somewhere between 12 and 15% on average.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Woo! I'm suffering from Reagan exhaustion. Greek gods did not get the glorification that Ronald Reagan has been getting since his death. He's already gotten a king-like seven-day funeral and a tsunami of worshipful media coverage. And now, the full deification of the Gipper is proceeding apace, with Republican politicos openly engaged in idolatry. Believe it or not, they're pushing to have Ronnie's face carved into Mount Rushmore, to off Alexander Hamilton from the $10 bill and replace him with Reagan's likeness, to name still more big government facilities in Washington after Reagan, to make his birthday a national holiday, and to name at least one thing after Reagan in every one of America's 3,067 counties. A little perspective, please. It would be appropriate, for example, to erect a statue on the Mall and inscribe it, Ronald Reagan, the man who gave us Saddam Hussein. Yes, for 5 years, Reagan provided aid and all sorts of weaponry to build up Saddam's censorship of Muslim radicals in Afghanistan, including one Osama bin Laden, Ed Meese, extensive cuts in programs serving poor people, Robert Bork, and the tripling of the national debt. This is Jim Hightower saying, let's give Reagan his due. All of it.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him?
Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
You think I'd maybe had some Bush's phases? Maybe, please. I'm a Carrier air conditioner. Isolation lets me focus on keeping you comfy.
For unmatched expertise, Carrier stands alone.
I'm an expert. You're on the job. Don't even think about it, Doc.
Our air conditioners with Puron refrigerant are energy efficient and environmentally sound with a 10-year limited warranty. See dealer for details.
Nothing can stop my dedication. Heat waves, rain, your kid's soccer ball. Ouch. I'm fine, really.
No wonder Carrier's trusted in more homes than any other brand. Carrier, turn to the...
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live, coast to coast, border to border, perhaps even planet to planet. Who knows? We're on a couple of satellites. A few quotes for the day from Dick Cheney. These are quotes that I can say on the radio. Governor Bush and I are absolutely determined that we will restore a tone of civility and decency to the debate in Washington. That 8400. And I look forward to working with you, George W., he's talking to Bush, to change the tone in Washington and to restore a spirit of civility and respect and cooperation. And George W., you know, what an ironic juxtaposition. But anyhow, the House yesterday, or not yesterday, Friday, the House of Representatives, after a blistering face-off, this from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer newspaper, after a blistering face-off in which Democrats accused the White House of coddling Enron Corporation, the House yesterday refused to order refunds for millions of Western customers who were victimized by an artificial energy crisis in 2000. The ties between Enron and the Bush administration, again, quoting the Seattle Post-Intelligencer here, an article by Charles Pope, Democrats, however, maintain that the ties between Enron and the Bush administration are directly related to what they consider a lax approach from regulators to repair the damage caused by Enron's actions. I mean, isn't it ironic, you know, Ayn Rand in her novel Atlas Shrugged, the guy that created so much of the conservative theology of the free market, in which, I'm forgetting his name now, but anyhow, in which, you know, who is, what's his name? In which this, you know, these brave, noble capitalists are refusing to make products and do work and run their companies because the government is screwing everything up, right? And ultimately, they come to the rescue, the brave capitalists, because the government can't do anything right. Here we have the exact opposite, the exact antithesis of that. Here we have corporations in the absence of government regulation. Keep in mind, you know, the deregulation, the craze began with Reagan, but Clinton was in on this as well. Reagan, Bush, and Clinton, all three of them, moving along toward, you know, Clinton declaring, the era of big government is over. I doubt you're going to find much of this in Clinton's autobiography, by the way. Remember, the artificial energy crisis happened in the year 2000 and 2001. It spanned two presidencies. But anyhow, the Democrats say that the Republicans don't want to have a vote on this because they're embarrassed. I don't think it's that they're embarrassed. I think it's that they really The Republicans don't want to force their oil company buddies to give money back to the states. They'd rather have them give the money to them. As Representative Peter DeFazio, Democrat of Oregon, a member of the United States Congress, said, "We have crimes, but what we don't have is restitution." You know how the if you mug somebody, well, not you. I'm assuming you wouldn't do it. But if somebody mugs somebody, steals their wallet, gets caught, has to go to jail. They have to make restitution. They have to pay back. You know, say they took $200 out of the guy's wallet and went on a drinking spree or bought some cocaine with it or something, and it was gone. Well, now they're in jail. They have to pay that $200 back out of their $1.75 a week or whatever, you know, $5 a week or whatever that they make working in prison labor in the now for-profit prisons that are manufacturing things like furniture and speedboats. So if you're a human being, you have to pay restitution if you commit a crime. But if you're Enron, apparently you don't. As Representative Peter DeFazio pointed out, he says Enron executives have gone to jail for manipulating the market, yet 3 years after the fact, no payments have been ordered and expensive power contracts are still in force. They're still in force. They're still having to pay. You wonder why the Wall Street Journal reported today that corporate profits are up 37.7% over last year. A large chunk of the corporate sector is the oil industry, the energy industry. The oil industry, the last three quarters in a row, have shown higher profits than ever in their history. Now, maybe they were making those kind of profits in the 1880s when John Rockefeller was running his trusts. And illegally, well, before 1881, it wasn't illegal, but squeezing out small competitors by collaborating with the railroads. The railroads refused to carry his competitors' oil to market. And on and on and on. I mean, you know, it was the old boy network writ large. We're still here. This DeFazio says we're still paying more for our electricity day in and day out. Nothing is more detrimental to the economic recovery of the Pacific Northwest than the fact that we're still paying more than we should for our electricity because it was stolen from us by the Enron Corporation based in Texas. Boy, Texas seems to be the source of lots of weirdness these days. You know, George W. Bush, Enron, Halliburton. DeFazio goes on to say, and no relief has been granted by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, led by Pat Wood of Texas, who was recommended for that job by Ken Lay of Enron, who was the largest lifetime contributor to George Bush, the President of the United States. This stinks, says Peter DeFazio, the congressman who represents Portland, Oregon's district in the United States Congress. Tapes and documents, according to the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, show that Enron traders engaged in market manipulation nearly every day from January of 2000 to June of 2001, nearly every day throughout the last year of the Clinton administration and the first 6 months of the Bush administration, at a cost to Washington state consumers estimated to be $1.1 are already beginning to appear. Sam Hayward has voted on almost every election for the past decade or so, writes Nancy Cook Lauer of the Tallahassee newspaper, Tallahassee.com. Sam Hayward has voted on almost every election for the past decade or so, but according to the Florida Division of Elections, he's a possible felon who should be struck from the voting rolls. In fact, 47,687 people are being, as we speak, removed from the voting rolls in Florida. Now, Who is this guy? Well, he's a Godby High School graduate. Hayward served 2 years overseas in the Army, then worked locally for Coca-Cola for 13 years. After falling ill and losing a leg, he started first as a volunteer, then as a paid employee at Bethel AME Church, where he had been a lifelong member. His record isn't spotless. He bounced a few checks, let his tags lapse, and was caught speeding a couple of times. But the check charges against him were dropped, and none of the offenses rose to a level that would affect his voting rights. But, hey, Jeb Bush doesn't want him voting anyway. They've got this new law down in Florida that says that you can look at the list of voters, but not if you take notes. You can't take pictures of it. You can't make copies of it. You can't even take notes. Well, one guy is fighting back. Leon County is a predominantly African-American community. 71.7% of the residents of Leon County are African-American. And Leon County Supervisor of Elections, Ian Sancho, says he will not take one name off the list until he's conducted a thorough review, which won't be finished until after the August 31st primary at the earliest. Maybe he won't even get done with this before the November 2nd election. On the state's list of 694 supposed Leon County felons to be taken off the voter rolls for that election, Sancho's office could only verify that 34 of them were actually felons. You get this? Jeb Bush says to the guy who's in charge of the voter rolls of a predominantly black community, county, Leon County, Florida, says take 694 people off the rolls. The head of the guy who supervises the rolls can only verify that 34 of them are felons. Five counties, including Palm Beach, Broward, and Duval, three of the state's largest, have refused to use the list at all. Good on them. 20 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you.
Instead of sitting on hold with tech support,
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
My answer is bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say, an army of one?
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Just 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's The Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Cowboy, gunslinger, riding on the range. I'm white, educated, and I can't affect any change. Strange, as it sounds to me.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. United Nations reports. This fascinating little bit of news. We have the war on terrorism, and we have the war on drugs, right? And, of course, you know, now we, you know, since it's time to think of Reagan's legacy, or it was, you know, a week or two ago, and then taking that money and using it to buy weapons that they were supplying to the insurgents who were trying to overthrow the democratically elected government of Nicaragua, with whom the conservatives happened to disagree because it was a socialist government. Not only was that going on, but also apparently a substantial amount of cocaine was being smuggled back into the United States, into Texas specifically, from Nicaragua, or from South and Central America anyway, as part of this program, in order to get a little more money to buy a few more weapons to keep the Contras going. Well, we find ourselves in a similar position here. And of course, that fueled the crack cocaine epidemic. If you look back, in fact, there are several books out that allege that cocaine coming back in the United States was being made into crack and being sold into largely minority communities as a way of intentionally disrupting those communities to prevent them from participating in things like politics. And there was this crack cocaine epidemic in the United States that happened during the Reagan administration. And, you know, during this, just after the Iran-Contra time. Well, now we've got a heroin epidemic happening all around the world. Even here in Vermont, they've just opened, just last week, they opened a second clinic to treat heroin addicts, mostly kids. You know, they're the world told them, the government told them, their parents told them, hey, you smoke pot, you'll get addicted, life, you know, you'll go crazy. And they tried the pot, and they didn't get addicted, and they didn't go crazy, and they said, geez, these people are lying to me. And everybody said, you shoot heroin, you'll get addicted. And they said, yeah, right, we heard that, you know, we're not listening to you anymore. And, you know, a week later, they're going, where's my next fix? But the problem is that it's become incredibly cheap and widely available. Why is this? Well, here's the story from the Associated Press. Worldwide opium production is increasing, driven by a sharp rise in poppy cultivation in Afghanistan. Now, we're supposed to control Afghanistan, I thought. Opie poppy cultivation declined in two major producing countries, Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, and Laos, according to the 2004 World Drug Report. This is the United Nations. But Afghanistan has more than made up for the shortfall due to a projection of an increase and a higher yield per acre than in Southeast Asia. Afghanistan was responsible for three-quarters of the world's illegal opium supply. The director of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime said at a news conference in Vienna, Austria, we expect even more production. Remember when George W. gave the Taliban, what was it, $34 million or $64 million to stop producing opium? And they actually cut back on it? Ain't working anymore. It's the Tom Hartman Program, 29 minutes past the hour.
A
must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about the Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman.
Involving employees at 9 of Los Angeles's largest hotels have hit a snag. 9 hotels in the L.A. area say they'll immediately move to lock out their workers should employees strike. They've also promised a preemptive lockout should at least 6 hotels agree to one. This employer tactic was used during the recent California grocery store workers' strike and allowed management to secure wage and benefit concessions in union contracts. The hotels broke off the talks last week. The Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union says it'll take the employer's final offer to its members on July 1st.
With terrorist attacks on the rise, many people fleeing the country, and insurance costs going through the roof for those who stay, the government of Saudi Arabia is desperately looking for ways to entice foreign oil workers into staying on the job. Their latest proposal, allowing foreigners to carry firearms for personal protection, may seem like a prudent move, but the cultural implications are less positive. Saudi citizens can't even carry concealed weapons without a permit, and the idea of more armed Westerners roaming the country has its own implications for the growing insurgency.
More bad news for MCI workers. The telecommunications giant announced another round of layoffs on Friday. More than 2,000 workers will be disconnected at call centers in Colorado, Kansas, South Carolina, and Iowa. The latest layoffs bring to 16,000 the number of jobless MCI workers since the end of last year. Many employees were informed that they would lose their job only a day before in a listen-only conference call lasting less than 1 minute.
Lie about the company you run, get $2 million? That's the fortunate outcome for Philip Watts, the former chairman of Royal Dutch Shell. He resigned in March after being caught inflating the company's proven oil reserves by as much as one quarter. When the scandal broke, the company took a beating and Watts stepped down along with two other executives. Now Royal Dutch Shells paid Watts a whopping $2 million in severance in appreciation for his 35 years of service to the company. Watts is also eligible for a $150,000 a year pension, the status of which remains undetermined. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Less than half the workers in the private sector now receive health benefits from their employers, according to analysis of figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics by the Labor Research Association. That's the lowest coverage rate in more than 40 years. By 2006, more than 53 million people may be uninsured, an increase of about 10 million from the present, and expect premiums to rise again next year, somewhere between 12 and 15% on average.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hunts of the day. How much damage will the neocons do to America before the American people awaken? The League of Frightened Gentlemen. You ever heard that phrase? The League of Frightened Gentlemen. Apparently, this is what the soldiers in Iraq call the Coalition Provisional Authority, Paul Bremer and his buddies, who, of course, left town yesterday. Now, Iraq has real sovereignty. Well, we'll see. I mean, you got the Shia Arabs, 60%. You got the Sunnis, they're 20%. The Kurds, they're 20%. I really think they ought to go back to the pre-World War I lines, pre-1920 lines, and divide this back into three countries. Otherwise, what I see coming here is Lebanon all over again. Remember the Green Line in Beirut? And the Christians versus the Muslims, as I recall it was? Or maybe it was two sects of Islam. I don't think so, though. I think it was Christians versus Muslims. The White House's priority, this from the also from the Seattle Post Intelligencer, as Narlodius in our chat room tells me how to pronounce it correctly, says the White House's top priority in the run-up to the U.S. elections is to stop bad news from Iraq from dominating the news. The main instrument to achieve this was to pretend that an independent Iraq is being created that can fight its own wars. And the article in the Intelligencer by Patrick Cockburn goes on to note, this picture is simply not true. The base of the new government is very small. Its leading figures are former exiles who have not been elected. They do not have the legitimacy necessary to establish security forces capable of reestablishing order. Alawi will certainly try, writes Cockburn. He wants to rebuild an army and security force by persuading senior officers from Saddam's army to reconstitute their units. He says he will centralize control of the armed forces so they are no longer auxiliaries for the U.S. Army and direct them against the insurgents. Plan sounds good. Iraqis, of course, are, you know, they're just freaked out. I mean, they want to be able to walk on the streets again. I think people forget that we've already lost Fallujah. You know what amazes me is that this isn't in the news more. It just absolutely amazes me. Anyone caught selling alcohol now in Fallujah is flogged and paraded through the streets. Men are told to wear beards. Barbers are warned against giving Western haircuts. Women aren't allowed to come out unless they're completely covered from head to toe and accompanied by a man. Fallujah has become a Taliban-like run state. And we're kind of pretending like it's not happening. We've dropped, you know, three bombs in Fallujah. We've had three air attacks there in the last week. But that's it. That's it. And now, these days, the Iraqis, you know, this new government, so-called, I mean, you know, hand-picked, but, well, you got to do something, right, I suppose. Although Sadr was having elections back in June, you'll recall, you know, he was organizing elections. There was one particular mayor, I forget which city it was, and the elected mayor showed up with a mob at the mayor's office and kicked out the mayor that had been appointed by Paul Bremer, and still is mayor. This is heading in different directions for long. At day's end, he relies on the United States for soldiers and money and must do what Washington wants. And the Iraqis, of course, are not unaware of this. 1-866, our toll-free number, 1-866-889-8894. Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Tom. Boy, I'm glad all this happened because things are going to calm down over there now.
Yes, just in time for the U.S. election. That was the plan anyway.
You know, what's interesting to me, I don't think anybody is paying attention to the fact that Alawi is a Shia, okay, and that most of the trouble, security trouble...
But he's also a Baathist.
Well,
I mean, that's an odd combination.
It's an odd combination, but he's still a Shia, which means the Shias are all calling for, you know, calm, don't attack the Americans, because all the problems are happening in Fallujah with the Sunni. And this is going to degenerate into Sunni versus Shia very quickly. You know, you were talking about tripartite countries, you know, breaking it back up pre-World War One lines. The only problem there, of course, is the Shias will have the only port, the Sunnis will have most of the oil, and the Kurds will have enough oil so they can really make the Turks really, really nervous. This is, I said it before, and I think the analogy holds. A slow-motion train wreck, and it's just horrifying.
Yeah, and see, frankly, I think that part of Turkey, which used to be part of Kurdistan, should also, that the Turks should separate that and give it back to the Kurds as well. It's you know, that ain't going to happen, of course. But
good luck. Well, you know, the new government is going to declare martial law. I mean, well, how much more martial can you get? But they're going to begin
if they declare martial law, they'll suspend the Constitution. I mean, that's what it's about, right?
A program of brutal crackdowns implemented by the humanity of it all. Wouldn't it be interesting if this weren't an election year?
Yeah.
How this would run?
Yeah.
You'd have a good day, man.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. You know, we've been hearing about the executive order. And I want to give you the timeline on this thing because it's fascinating. The executive order essentially said that President Bush is free from being prosecuted under the War Crimes Act. Okay? And the argument that they're making is that this is a a new kind of war. In fact, here's the exact quote. In the January 25th, 2002 memo by Alberto Gonzalez, the guy at the Jewish camp in Guantanamo Bay. One argument was that Afghanistan under the Taliban was a failed state. This, by the way, from a great analysis done by Edward Spanaus, titled Bush and Hitler, What the Torture Memos Reveal. It was in the Executive Intelligence Review. And again, here's a quote from the original memo that you, a guy named you, Y-O-O, wrote that Gonzalez massaged. Neither the Federal War Crimes Act nor the Geneva Conventions would apply to the detention conditions at Guantanamo Bay. So on January 11, 2002, State Department legal advisor William H. Taft IV told you, this is wrong, that the advice from to the president was seriously flawed, incorrect, as well as incomplete. And he says, you can't do this, basically. He was joined by JCS Chairman Richard Myers and the senior military leadership. That's January 11th of 2002. January 22nd, 2002, Gonzalez puts together the final version of the memo. It says, and I quote, neither the Federal War Crimes Act nor the Geneva Conventions would apply to the detention conditions of Al-Qaeda prisoners. And, quote, the president has the plenary constitutional power to suspend our treaty obligations toward Afghanistan, either on the grounds that it was a failed state or by determining that members of the Taliban militia failed to qualify as prisoners of war under the terms of the Geneva Treaty. Colin Powell hit the roof when he read Gonzalez's memorandum. February 1st, a week later, Attorney General John Ashcroft weighs in. He says Afghanistan, because it was a failed state, doesn't matter. If a determination is made that Afghanistan was a failed state, various legal risks of liability, litigation, and criminal prosecution are minimized. On February 7th, 2002, Bush sided with the Department of Justice and signed a directive declaring that, quote, the war against terrorism ushers in a new paradigm. This new paradigm requires new thinking in the law of war. Bush's directive stated that, quote, none of the provisions of Geneva apply to our conflict with Al-Qaeda. And the Taliban detainees do not qualify as prisoners of war, okay? You got the background here. Now here's the rest of the story. In the spring of 1941, this struggle is one of ideologies and racial differences, and will have to be conducted with unprecedented, unmerciful, and unrelenting harshness. All officers will have to rid themselves of obsolete ideologies. German soldiers guilty of breaking international law will be excused. Russia has not participated in the Hague Convention and therefore has no rights under it. This is the failed state argument. On May 13, 1941, Field Marshal Wilhelm Keitel, this again from this piece, a brilliant article by Edward Spanaus, Bush and Hitler, What the Torture Memos Reveal. May 13, published in the Executive Intelligence Review, July 2nd. On May 13, 1941, Field Marshal Wilhelm Keitel, the head of the Armed Forces High Command, issued an order in Hitler's name severely limiting functions of the military court's martial system and virtually giving immunity to German forces for war crimes against Russians. Quote, with regard to offenses committed against enemy civilians by members of the Wehrmacht, prosecution is not obligatory, even where the deed is at the same time a military crime or offense. In doing so, he says, remember in each case all the harm done to Germany since 1918 by the Bolsheviks. Just like George Bush says, remember the harm that Al-Qaeda did on 9/11. That's the justification. Underline such orders, writes Spanaus, was the legal philosophy set forward by the crown jurist of the Third Reich, Carl Schmitt, whose writings have unfortunately undergone a revival in the United States in recent years. Schmitt contended that in times of emergency and crisis, the actions of the leader were not subordinate to justice, but constituted the highest justice. Schmitt wrote, quote, All law is derived from the people's right to existence. Every state law, every judgment of the court contains only so much justice as it derives from this source. The content and the scope of his action, that being the president, the leader, the Führer, is determined only by the leader himself. 1941, the spring of 1941, and here we have on January 25th, 2002, Alberto Gonzalez noting that Bush has called the war against terrorism a new kind of war which renders obsolete and quaint the provisions of the Geneva Convention. Boy, history does repeat itself. Just who would have thought it would happen here? 10 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman with you. Transforming the world by revitalizing. Yes, we must revitalize democracy.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Tiny creatures in the soil help keep plants from running wild. I'm Richard Hoofs for Earthwatch Radio. Plants can cause huge problems when they move out of their home turf and into new terrain. Their populations sometimes explode, and when that happens, they crowd out native species and throw local ecosystems out of balance. Scientists don't completely understand why this happens. One explanation might be that in a new environment, an invading plant is free of the insects and other animals that would normally eat it. It appears that invasive plants also might be free of the underground creatures that would otherwise help keep them under control. Reagan Calloway is a plant ecologist at the University of Montana. He studies a plant known as spotted knapweed that's become a big problem in Montana and other parts of North America. Knapweed is a European plant. Some seeds were accidentally spread in some western states in the early 1900s, and now the plant covers millions of acres. Calloway says spotted knapweed is not a problem in Europe, and that's partly because of microscopic creatures known as soil microbes. They infect the knapweed's roots and prevent them from growing too much and taking over. But when spotted knapweed invaded North America, it was suddenly free of those microbes and it started to spread. Calloway says soil microbes play a part in many plant communities. With time, he says, soil communities might evolve in a way that ultimately brings invasive plants like knapweed under control.
Native systems are going to evolve. I think we'll see all of these invaders in, you know, a century or whatever, maybe longer, maybe shorter, start to behave more like normal sort of citizens in these plant communities, and the microbes will adapt to them.
Calloway's study was recently published in the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 4 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. The last few minutes of our show, I've saved the best for the last here. You know, Paul Johnson, the guy who got beheaded in Saudi Arabia, remember? Worked for Lockheed Martin, the American. He was being, he was helping repair Black Hawk helicopters. And they, when they beheaded him, they said, this is a repayment for all the people in Iraq who have been killed by Black Hawk helicopters, blah, 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 you know. I mean, any rationalization in a pinch, right? Well, the guy who's in charge now of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, seeing as how Osama is over in Pakistan waiting for George to pick him up in October, just in time for the elections. The guy who's in charge, the new head of Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula, is a guy named Saleh Mohammed Al-Aoufi. He's the guy who was responsible for, in charge of, kidnapping Paul Johnson and cutting his head off in Saudi Arabia. Guess who trained him? Saleh Mohammed Al-Aoufi. He was trained as a Saudi public security NCO, a non-commissioned officer and prison guard, apparently by one of the American contractors. These private American companies that are playing mercenary over there. This article by Wayne Madsen in counterpunch.com. And he's suggesting, during the time Al-Aoufi was rising to the rank of sergeant in the Public Security Service, part of the Saudi Interior Ministry, he may have received training from CSC, Computer Sciences Corporation, which now owns DynCorp. CSC has touted its work for the Saudi royal family in a number of press releases over the year. Blowback? Boy, I guess. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Louise for producing our program. Thanks to Rama Schneider for engineering it today. Thanks to Brad Walrod for our music. And to Ben and the folks at White Rose Society for getting us out on the web, and the folks on Cable Radio Network, stream number 4 there. Thanks to our sponsors, particularly Small Dog Electronics, and the folks in our chat room for showing up. And thanks to you for listening. See you tomorrow, same time, same place.
have been listening to the Tom Hartman Program, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic.